Hey folks, welcome back to Aircraft Adventures. Today, we're looking back at another wild aircraft from the past. Say hello to the Easy Riser. A bare bones machine that helped shine the spotlight on recreational flying and helped spawn a whole new category of airplanes. Ultralight stripped down aviation to its purest form. Small, lightweight, and built for floating easily through the air. Their pilots are a different breed than others, chasing a freedom that almost feels like growing a pair of wings and soaring with the birds. Every ultralight pilot today stands on the shoulders of pioneers who dared to make flight simpler, cheaper, and most importantly, fun. One of those pioneers is John Moody. I recently had the honor of speaking with him, and he shared with me some stories about the Easy Riser's colorful history. And now, I get to share them with you. Well before hang gliders took off in popularity, Terrence Kosuniak Jr. was already redefining human flight. In the 1960s and 70s, he designed the Icarus, a biplane glider with swept-back wings and small rudders. To test the Icarus, he leaped from California's sand dunes, floating down with his legs dangling below. The Icarus was simple and groundbreaking, and well ahead of its time. But Terrence didn't come up with his design in a vacuum. He had some solid inspiration to work from. The Dundee 8 from 1912 was an aircraft with no tail and swept back wings. There was nothing else like it at the time, and it proved to be very stable. According to legend, its test pilot once climbed out of the cockpit during flight, walked to the wingtip and back, and the aircraft barely flinched. We fast forward to 1935. Aviation pioneer Glenn Curtiss employed a similar layout with the Arrowhead safety plane, designed to be stall-proof and marketed to everyday pilots. His goal was to mass-produce the Arrowhead, but fate had other plans, and Curtiss passed away, and his plans died with him. Though nothing came of these designs, both the Arrowhead and D-8 helped lay the foundation for the Icarus many decades later. Terrence continued refining the Icarus, and eventually began selling plans. Meanwhile, fellow California native Larry Morrow had a light bulb moment when he saw the Icarus in action. Recognizing its potential, he formed a company to sell it as a kit, thus making it one of the earliest aircraft available in kit form. And this is where John Moody comes in. John was also thrilled with the Icarus, so he purchased a kit from Larry Morrow. With no prior flying experience and no interest in taking formal lessons, John turned to the classic book Stick and Rudder and taught himself how to fly. And that's where things got really interesting. You see, there was a bit of a problem with the Icarus. In order to fly, you need a hill to jump from. However, John was living in a flat area of Wisconsin and had to drag his Icarus from hill to hill many miles from home. During the winter, it became more unbearable, a total buzzkill. John didn't want to rely on hills to get his machine off the ground, so he mounted a 10 horsepower go-kart engine onto the frame along with a tiny propeller. And just like that, it was no longer a glider. For the first time, John was really flying. No more hills needed, just pure flight. Back in California, a couple of hang gliders were already being flown with tiny motors, but they could only extend their glide time and still required a hill to take off from. John, on the other hand, he could fly his machine anywhere and everywhere. John then partnered up with Larry Morrow, and together they sold the motorized Icarus as a kit. It was rebranded as the Easy Riser, and just like its name, it was both easy to build and easy to fly. Well, sort of. It was built using basic materials and tools. Some of the original kit materials included Dacron fabrics and aluminum tubing. Flying the Easy Riser was an exercise in minimalism. To make a turn, you use a sliding tube that spins around an axle. This controls the wingtip rudders. To pitch down, the pilot would shift forward or lean back to pitch up. The Easy Riser was powered with a tiny single-cylinder engine with anywhere from 10 to 15 horsepower. With this setup, it only weighed 90 pounds. These primitive engines weren't very reliable. They were prone to seizing up and lasted anywhere from a few minutes to an hour, depending of course on how hard you ran them. To make matters worse, the first Easy Risers had direct drive propellers that spun at the speed of sound. They were incredibly loud, but things eventually got better with improved exhaust pipes and gear reduction. Still, going deaf was not your only concern. As stable as it was a challenge of flying winds over 10 miles per hour. Even with a light breeze, a pilot had to be extra careful. With the Easy Riser, you better not be in a hurry to get anywhere. If you had to go far or fast, you might be better off in a car or a bicycle. The Easy Riser would typically flutter around at 30 miles per hour with a maximum speed of 50. On the low end, it stalled at only 18 miles per hour, which was perfect for landing gears made out of bone, muscle, and a pair of Adidas. With only 1.5 gallons of fuel, it could only fly 20 miles, but most flying was conducted close to the launch area anyways. John became quite adept at pleasing the crowds at air shows. One day, John tried to perform a hammerhead. He pointed the Easy Riser straight up, but then it flipped upside down. John came spiraling down helplessly, but the Easy Riser flipped upright again when he was only 50 feet off the ground. I bet the spectators thought that was part of the act. The Experimental Aircraft Association gave John a stern warning and, looking out for his best interest and safety, threatened to ban him from upcoming air shows. But John was a stubborn guy and wouldn't take no for an answer. Eventually, the association relented and let John back at air shows, so long as he didn't try to kill himself again. Meanwhile, John Moody decided his poor legs needed a break, and by the late 1970s, he crafted a simple landing gear. Designed to land in any direction from the wind, it was a primitive version of a crosswind landing gear and could pivot in any direction. Due to its amazing ability to fly anywhere, the word was getting around. It started popping up in magazine articles and really made a buzz at air shows. Literally. But it was an article in Popular Mechanics magazine that really gave the Easy Riser a huge boost. The editors were quite skeptical of John's tiny machine and what it could do. Well, seeing is believing, and that's what he gave them. He landed the Easy Riser in their backyard and flew demo flights above their rooftops. After blowing their minds, the Easy Riser made the magazine, and that's where it really took off. Production went into high gear, and Larry and John sold between 800 to 900 kits. An Easy Riser kit costs around $1,800. But if that was too salty for your wallet, you could order without the landing gear and fly it Fred Flintstone style. That would save you about $500. Not bad, especially if you want a good leg workout. But not everything was fine and dandy with the Easy Riser. A huge hurdle it faced were regulations. The Easy Riser and other similar models started to pop up in air shows, and this got the FAA's attention. They didn't know what to make of these crude machines. Are they hang gliders? They can't be hang gliders. You can take off from anywhere. So, were they airplanes? Should we regulate them like airplanes? John Moody fought a hard battle with the FAA, who wanted to certify the Easy Riser and place it in the same category as your average Cessna or Piper. This would have been a death sentence for the Easy Riser, and all of its competitors for that matter, because that would mean you would need a full pilot's license to fly it, which really defeats the purpose of this type of flying. Eventually, the FAA came to its senses and created a new category of aircraft that would not require a pilot's license, and this is around the time people started using the term ultralight. The set of rules defining ultralights in the US became known as Part 103. Easy Risers soon evolved at the hands of their owners. For many pilots, its handling was a little too twitchy, so some added a tail for stability, others added canards. John also made improvements to the Easy Riser. He modified his own plane for long-range flights and managed to fly 100 miles on a full tank of gas. Not an easy task, considering it would take about 4 hours to get there. The next decade saw a slow decline in sales compared to other ultralight models. By the mid-80s, ultralights were becoming commonplace at fly-ins, but the Easy Riser was firmly stuck in the 1970s with its primitive controls and finicky engine. John Moody suspended production in 1983 over concerns with lawsuits and liability. To make matters worse, ABC ran a hit piece article about the dangers of flying ultralights. It dragged down ultralight sales, and very few companies survived the backlash against ultralights. Although John retired from production lines, he wasn't quite ready to hang up his boots just yet. He came up with one of the most creative air show routines I've ever heard of.
The airport is closed. He's not supposed to be here. He's supposed to get out of here. Yeah. Hey, put the gun away. Don't shoot the guy, Dave. Just put the red flag. Put the gun down.
Hey, Christmas.
Oh, no.
Plan the gear off now.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. This is not good.
I mean, that's just scary. If he lands the thing that way, he's going to flip over on his back. Dig a bit more. Uh-oh. Oh, great. Now we have a tail.
Got no pictures on you now. Sent Rob Campbell out there to get it from the Air Force.
Oh, 16th.
Rob, you are a brave person.
I don't know what's going on.
There's no more reason to say.
You know, his butt's hanging down kind of low. I think he's laying on that. Whoa, oh, gear down. I see his foot hanging out there. His foot, look at this. Ha, look at that! Holy mackerel!
What do you think about that? Pretty wild, huh? John Moody knew what it took to put the Easy Rider in the spotlight. John Moody stepped away from the spotlight, but his legacy certainly didn't. EAA created a special award called the John Moody Award, which gave recognition to pioneers in the ultralight movement. If you ever get to experience Air Venture in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, you'll find the ultralight movement is alive and well. The wide variety of models and styles that can be seen at air shows and private air parks across the country is mind-boggling. And all ultralight owners owe their thanks to a handful of pioneers like John Moody, who showed the world that real flying wasn't just for the birds. And there you have it. Hope you enjoyed the video. Feel free to share your thoughts about the aircraft featured today. And by the way, if there's an aircraft that you want me to cover in an upcoming video, just drop it in the comments below. There's a ton of material to go over for new videos. See you next time.